Buenos dias and bon dia. The European debt crisis heads south to Spain and Portugal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Borrowing costs are on the rise this morning in Spain and Portugal. Investors are questioning whether those two countries will be the next ones to have problems paying their bills. Some are already saying Portugal will be next in line for a bailout. Let's bring in the BBC's Alison Roberts, who's in Lisbon, where protests are going on right now over potential spending cuts. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Alison, it seems that just as Ireland has decided to take a bailout to solve its immediate problems, that the debt monster, if you will, has landed in Lisbon. Looks like this crisis is really spreading pretty quickly.
Yes, people here in Portugal have been watching events in Ireland with some trepidation, I might say. Some of the problems are a little different. Portugal doesn't have the same problems with its banking system that Ireland does, but it does have big problems with its deficit. Given that the main opposition party here has promised not to vote against the socialist government's austerity budget for next year, that isn't a problem in itself. But it seems that what the government does doesn't directly influence the markets or indeed IMF and EU officials' decisions. So it may well be that Portugal will eventually be forced to take some kind of a bailout.
Looking at this crisis from a distance, I would think that a country would be happy to be helped out by its neighbors, but certainly that was not necessarily the case in Ireland. What are the people that you're speaking to in Portugal saying about the prospect of taking help from neighbors should that be necessary?
Well, Portugal has something of a trauma with regard to the IMF. The IMF landed, if you will, in Portugal in the 1970s and the 1980s, and there were some very painful cuts in public spending then at a time when the welfare safety net was very underdeveloped. But in general, the main opposition at the moment is coming from organized labor in a general strike today, large numbers of public sector workers taking part, and unions say that not more austerity is needed, but steps to boost growth.
The BBC's Alison Roberts joining us from Lisbon this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
John Deere has just reported its earnings. The company, which is the largest maker of farm equipment in the world, saw a profit of almost $500 million last quarter. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith takes a look now at why the farm equipment industry is seeing fields of gold.
2010 has been a very good year for farmers and a very good year for makers of farm equipment. Sales are up about 25% from a year ago. Commodities analyst Dan Montrenac says farmers are springing for new tractors because they're getting more money for their crops.
That is truly a perfect storm where you've got rising inflationary fears plus a good old-fashioned squeeze on supply and demand.
The supply and demand part is coming from China and India, which are getting wealthier and importing more food. The inflation part is coming from investors, who are worried about the dollar losing value. Normally, they'd buy gold, but Montrenac says gold has gotten so expensive, those investors are moving to other commodities like food.
Right now, wheat is a better buy than gold, just as a store of value, because governments can't print more wheat either. They can't print more corn.
Investors may be hurt if food prices reverse, but makers of farm equipment could be safe as long as the global demand for food keeps growing. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Well, in addition to John Deere, we just got earnings from Tiffany's. They're up from last quarter, and so are global markets. Stocks are up about 0.5% to over 1% right now in Europe. Here in the U.S., we'll get a look this morning at the latest figures on consumer confidence and new home sales. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 132 points to close at 11,036.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
You know when you go to an ATM that's not owned by your bank, you have to pay a fee for the privilege of using that ATM? Well, LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus says the real problem is that you have to pay another fee to your bank. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what gives?
What gives is the banks are basically double dipping. They're charging you an average $3 when you take your card out of network, but then your home bank will also hit you with a roughly $2 charge, which they call a convenience fee. B of A charges $2, Chase charges $2, Wells Fargo charges $2.50.
David, how long has this been going on?
Well, it's more of a recent phenomenon, to be honest. When the banks first rolled out ATMs in the 1970s, there was no charge whatsoever for going out of network. They wanted people to feel comfortable with this technology because, of course, it saves the banks oodles of cash. It wasn't until about 2003 or so that we started seeing an average $2 charge being introduced. Now it's $3 charges, and some banks are charging $4.
$4. And let me ask you this question, which I'm sure the answer will be difficult to hear. What does it actually cost them to have me go to a bank that's not in my network?
Bupkis, my friend. You talk to consumer advocates and they say it maybe costs a penny or two to process these transactions because the economies of scale are so huge, millions of transactions every day. So as with processing debit card transactions or credit card transactions, there are so many ATM withdrawals that it really only costs maybe a penny. All the rest is pure gravy.
Now, David, Congress passed that big credit card act back in February that was supposed to crack down on fees. Did it do anything about this situation?
No, not with the ATMs, because the banks can argue correctly that you're not forced to pay these fees. All you've got to do is stay in network with your home bank and you can skirt these fees. Well, that's true. On the other hand, at $5 or so to get your money, that's price gouging, pure and simple. So since the Federal Reserve has cracked down on debit card transaction fees, requiring that they now be reasonable and proportional to the bank's costs, I wonder why the same thinking can't apply to ATM withdrawals.
Well, I guess we'll have to keep wondering. And by the way, you will be on Marketplace Money this weekend answering listener questions. But thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Report.
Thank you.
And finally, Facebook is about to get the official trademark on the word face. That's right. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has given Facebook the tentative go-ahead when it comes to telecommunications services. No word yet on what this means for CBS's political talk show, Face the Nation, which, by the way, is about twice as old as Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg. You can follow me on Twitter, which, as far as I know, hasn't trademarked the word twit. I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York.
American Public Media.
On our series, Economy 4.0, we've been looking at alternative ways of measuring success. Here's another one.
There's two lawyers in the next house. I think they're both lawyers. Lawyer across the street. You can swing a dead cat and find a lawyer in this neighborhood.
I'm Tess Viglin, but you know what? Not all neighborhoods are created equal. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.